Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, February 23rd, 2016 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Back when we set up our suspicious domain list, one of the problems we had is that, for example, some of these domain names that we pulled in from various feeds are taken from malware analysis. So a piece of malware resolved a certain domain. The problem is that domains malware resolves aren't always malicious. For example, we had a lot of DNS lookups from malware for Microsoft.com and Google.com just as a connectivity check to see how fast the internet connection is. The malware, for example, would download some Microsoft service pack. Well, Xavier today has a diary how to eliminate some of these false positives. What we did back then was, well, we looked at the Alexa 5000. These are the top 5000 websites according to Alexa's statistic, and we marked them as false positive because, first of all, they're not often actual malicious, and secondly, if they get blocked, of course, your users are probably going to complain. Now, Xavier has a nice proposal how to include this Alexa 5000 list in Splunk. So if you're pulling in your logs in Splunk, you can see whether or not some of these Alexa 5000 sites are within your results. And then you probably don't necessarily want to go ahead and block the IP address in your firewall. And by the way, if you're looking up an IP address on our site, you may see that risk score. That risk score is also reduced if a site shows up as a high rank within Alexa. And we got a little bit more details about the Linux Mint compromise. Apparently, someone who is claiming to have compromised the website came forward with at least a partial copy of the user database from the website to authenticate himself. And he stated that he was actually in the website as early as January and had access to the main maintainer's Lefebvre's password in order to access the site. And that's how the site was actually compromised in the end. No details about how the password was obtained, whether there was another weakness in the site that was used here, or whether the password was leaked on another site, phishing or whatnot else. Well, the forum database definitely got compromised, so Linux Mint is now advising users to change their passwords. At this point, the site I don't think is fully up yet. Bits and pieces are up. A few hundred users downloaded the backdoor copy while it was up. It was up for only about an hour or something like that. And yesterday I mentioned that hashes are likely not going to protect yourself here because the attacker did have access to the site and would be able to change these hashes as well. And indeed, that's what happened. The attacker did change hashes, not just the links to the ISOs. An interesting bug in GZIP, or at least the way it's implemented in HTTP's GZIP compression algorithm, can help identify the location of Tor services. The problem here is that an HTTP server that uses GZIP to compress data does also include its local time zone and also local timestamp as part of the GZIP header, which then can help to either identify the local time zone the server is running in, or just with the time skews by looking at the hour difference when the file was actually created, to then again identify time zones. Of course, for the most part, this isn't sufficient to really identify a particular city or IP address or anything like that. But at the very least, for example, in the US, you would be able to limit the number of states a certain server is hosted in, or you could limit what country it is hosted in worldwide. So this isn't really a problem with Tor, it's a problem with the GZIP algorithm that, of course, usually doesn't matter for a normal web server, but does matter for a hidden web server, so you probably just want to turn off gzip for now. Now, HTTP does have its own date header that's usually sent with each response and will also be sent for these hidden services, but that date header is always in GMT, so it cannot be used to locate the server, in particular by comparing that date header to the date included in the SIP header, it's then possible to, for example, look for differences, look for adjustments that were made by gzip for the time zone. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow.